You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up? What is happening? It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as you were told. That over there, he has not spoken, the unspoken to, Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welch. Very glad to be here for 3 hours today. Three hours, Bogman. I don't know if you got the word. Did you get the memo that they liked our show so much here? We were literally asked, can we add another hour on top of it? And I said, we can, but does everybody want that? And today will be the big test to that. We will see if people actually want that. Yes, it is going to be 3 hours of In This League, and we have got a ton of stuff to talk to you about. Tons and tons of fantasy baseball. We've got football. We've got NFL draft ranks that Bogman has done. Maybe some basketball. But most importantly, I'm sick.
You are sick and
tired of it.
You can tell a little bit.
It's how apparent is it? Because it's not super, except there's a little, I hear this little bit of a pitch that's going on with me, but how is it coming across?
I mean, it's there. Yeah. You know, you're sick.
Great.
And people can tell, but it's not horrific. It doesn't sound like you're not like, welcome, and I'm having hot flashes and blah, blah, blah.
Look at everybody. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Oh, I can't do it. That didn't
No
happen.
Flu. Doesn't seem like you have
no. By the way, I don't know if you've paid attention. Have you paid attention to the flu? The flu is like probably 3 to 4 genetic genes away from just being an epidemic of like zombie apocalypse style. Like, it is crazy. Like, people are dying from the flu. It's like the worst flu ever. So when it got to my household, I was like, oh crap, everyone got it. I was okay, and then I woke up the other day and I went, welp, this is going down. I've got this. But I don't think it's a flu. It's just a cold.
Yeah, you haven't been sick at all, right? Just, I mean, like, physically sick. It's just
yeah, well, I mean, I have been for many, many years, but the physically sick
well,
for
mentally
me
sick.
Is... Yeah, mentally sick's always. Physically right. sick is what you and I are trying to, like, accomplish right now by dieting. Like, this is what I got going on in my life. I'm sick. I do nothing but work. Whether it's radio or other radio that I work in, all the different radio I work in with podcasting... We wrote a book, and it never stops. I've got children. It never stops.
Can't stop, won't stop. You are sick like 4 to 5 times a year.
Yeah, I've never been like this in my life. Even though I physically am relatively disgusting, like I was able to stave off being sick for much of my life. But then you have children,
yeah,
and all you are
little hands touch
is
everything.
Sick.
Right,
you're just
their
sick.
Grubby little hands touch everything. They're always constantly fighting. And building up their immune system and bringing home new stuff. And, yeah, you get whatever their grubby little hands touch from the other kids at school's grubby little hands, and it's gross.
Yeah, and then you're like, hey, how's everybody doing? Oh, now we're all sick. Now it's done.
You want to take a picture with my baby. Take a picture with my kid. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, okay, here you do that. That's what just happens. That's all that happens with the sickness.
They call me a psycho because I don't want to be sick. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't want to be sick.
Yeah. I mean, you live in your apartment alone with no other physical contact because you don't want to get sick. You don't want this flu epidemic.
That's right. I don't want this flu epidemic or the worst disease, children.
It's a virus, Bogman. It's not a disease.
Oh, virus.
It's a virus. But
which
I don't know.
Is the one that never leaves you. It's like children are like herpes.
Yeah. Well, so is the bad weight right now. That's another virus that's going on. So. Things going on. One thing we want to talk about right at the top is, I briefly mentioned it, Bogman and I, yes, if this is the first time you're listening, we wrote a book. There's a book that we have written, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. We are going to schmore this throughout the episode and schmore it anytime we can talk. Really, any show we can get on. We haven't actually, we need to grovel at a bunch of our friends' radio shows and podcasts to get on so we can just shmore this book.
Yeah. Hey, Jake, what are you doing, Jake?
Yeah.
Why haven't we been on, Jake?
Open schedule next week, Jake. We're both off Monday. Maybe
yeah,
we can...
Maybe you want the Welsh because you two apparently agree on everything. I didn't understand.
Yeah, oh yeah. What was Jake's tweet? Like he's very happy that me and him are essentially on target, if you will, on all things, and you are poo-poo-doo-doo, as he
He called me a child's insult. I can't remember what it was.
Something along the lines of, like, poo-poo-doo-doo.
It was something that someone eating a bunch of cereal in the morning would call you.
Yeah, well, you don't eat cereal at all. So
yeah, I'm not a child.
Okay, well, whatever it is. I'm sick all the time, so I feel like a child, and I wish I had cereal right now, but I can't eat it. So, the book. Let's focus on the book for a minute. Go buy it. So, how can we stretch this whole segment into go buy the book right now? Because we need you to buy the book. It's 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Just under 200 players are covered in this, and we did it in a boxing-style format. And we've got special guest judges, some of the smartest people in all of the land, like Jake Seeley, Steve Gardner, Spore, the RotoWire crew of James Anderson, Clay Link, and Derek Van Riper, Rob Silver, who just did a killer episode with us on our baseball podcast, if you go listen, where we talked about projections. Very, very cool stuff. And many, many more are in there, and they're judging all of these debates we did. And what it's designed to do is not be necessarily a guide, but it's designed to kind of get your brain working. Once you've gotten to the place of you know, you might have your ranks, or you might be doing mock drafts, and you're trying to figure out, where do I want to go? Well, we make cases for a said matchup that you might, you know, be trying to figure out yourself. And we have judges who put them together, and we've gotten awesome reviews. Our industry guys have liked it. We just need you to buy it.
Just go buy it so I can pay my rent, please. That's all I want.
Is that it?
Just go buy it because I think you'll enjoy it. And I also really, really need to pay my rent. And I'm moving and I need to pay.
One other thing that I love to do is banging s'mores.
On our secret shows that you get if you're in the ITL Army, you can know I'm afraid to call s'mores. Because I'm afraid of being put on a list.
Yeah. I mean, you know, s'mores, obviously, the marshmallow and the chocolate and the graham cracker.
Right.
Those are the s'mores.
You pay the s'mores. They come over to your house with a smimp and you exchange some money. And then, you know.
Yeah. And then
all kinds of, you do whatever you want to that
s'more. You put it over the fire and then you eat your s'more.
Right. I mean, I think that would cost extra, but sure.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Amazon, that's where you can go buy the book. Please go do that. Amazon right now, search 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, or just search Fantasy Baseball, or you can go to InThisLeague.com and you can purchase it from us, and you get it the PDF format. Some people love the Amazon, some people don't, because you're stuck to like the Kindle ebook stuff. We have the PDF version. It's got click-throughs, so you can click, you know, round one, boom, and you can go to the first debate. It's very, very cool. It's very cheap. It's only $6.99. So if you are just trying to get some fantasy baseball prep into you, it is not going to be a burden on your wallet. I promise you, you will dig it, and you are directly supporting In This League and potentially us ever doing this again, because we are pacing to never do this again. Ever, 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 ever.
Yeah, I mean, don't need to say much more about that, because I don't think it's going to happen again. So.
No.
But you can make it happen again if you like it.
I'll just be perpetually sick. That's just what I'll be. I'll just never not be healthy.
Was that just a sneeze just now? I wasn't sure.
That was a cough.
Oh, I can't tell. All of your bodily functions are starting to sound the same. That's how you know you're sick.
Yeah, that's true. I know, it's so gross.
That's such a horrible, horrible drop you have there.
I know. I'm so sorry about that. It's what can I say? Let's get to some actual information, though, besides you buying the book right now on Amazon. So go do that. We've got baseball to talk about. One of the big things that got kind of dropped in our lap and we talked about on the podcast, our most recent podcast, In This League Fantasy Baseball, you can search it on iTunes. It's actually the mock draft episode. We do these live mock drafts. It's 2 hours of fantasy baseball goodness. And we started it by talking about what we had alluded to in the previous episode with the humidor. Now, you brought up this really great point, I think, in the podcast, where you said, is this big news because no one is signing, because there's no other big, you know, signings happening? And I don't think that's the case. I think this is a big deal because the humidor, which the Colorado Rockies had installed in their park to kind of, you know, balance out the crazy hitters park, the Diamondbacks have decided to do. They are actually implementing, and I believe it was Wednesday, Mike Hazen, the GM of the Diamondbacks, said there will be one for 2018, and the internet lost its mind. Everybody, yep, our buddy Scott White from CBS lost his mind, not drafting any Diamondbacks right now, and it's crazy. So I'm going to get into this interesting tweet storm we had, but just what are the overall thoughts? We talked about it a little bit, but after you've had a couple more days to kind of simmer on this whole idea of the Diamondbacks potentially lowering their offensive output and helping out their pitchers.
I mean, I still don't know. I mean, this is, I think the panic is overhyped. I definitely think it is. You know, I know all of the numbers that everybody's putting to everything, but you never really know until you see it, right? There's been so many different factors. You know, this is happening in Coors. This is happening. This is the potential to happen in Arizona. Our guy Derek Carty had a vicious Twitter stream.
Yeah, I'm going to go over that here. I want to go over that here in a minute because I think that's important.
Right, but like I said, I don't know, like, okay, so if everything in, you know, March, April, May is finishing 1-2, 2-1, it basically turns into Petco or worse than Petco, can't you adjust the humidor? I mean, can't they go up? It's not like it's, you know, an unwavering thing. This isn't, you know, the One Ring that they're using here. It's it basically is a thing with a thermostat. I know it's not the one that you go and pick up from CVS or whatever, but it's, you know, I'm sure there's a thermostat or whatever adjustment there that can be made to the balls to make, okay, we want to bring it down, but this is ridiculous, and then switch it. I don't know if there is an MLB mandate that says once you install this thing, you have to have the settings for the entire season. I would figure that it would just be for you have to have the same settings as your opponent does, and all of the baseballs are put in there. So I'm just not sure. I am not Scott White. I am not going to not buy all Diamondback players. And we talked about this on the podcast. I mean, I don't really particularly like too many Diamondback hitters this year anyway, outside of Goldie. So, and I'm definitely not lowering Goldie. He's too good in everything else. You know, you take a couple homers away. I mean, he has even said he's not a home run hitter. He's a doubles hitter. So, you know, I think the players are going to be fine. But there's not too many Diamondback hitters I'm buying anyway, so I'm not panicking about it. And I love it for the pitchers, you know. I don't know if it's going to be as good for the pitchers, just the same effect. I don't know if it's going to be as good for the pitchers that people are saying, but it's going to affect the hitters to go down and the pitchers go up a little bit. So you have to like it for the pitchers because they're already good.
So let me just break down a little bit. We did this a little bit in the baseball podcast, but Derek Carty, he's a guy we know. We've hung out with him a couple times during the First Pitch conference out here, and he's over at ESPN, Roto Grinders. He put out this big tweet kind of storm that you can check out talking about the humidor's effects, and a little contrary to kind of where you're going with it, where there was a quote out there given from Derek Hall, the CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, that was, he was kind of asked, like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And it essentially ended where he says, again, I don't know if it's going to make a difference. It hasn't had a huge difference at Coors Field, I don't think. And then Carty says, well, he respectively disagrees. In one of many of he explains the humidor real quick. He says, humidors affect the baseballs themselves. Balls are stored at a constant temperature humidity. At higher humidity, the ball absorbs more water. Its weight increases. Its bounciness decreases. And its velocity off the bat diminishes. Now, he's got a kind of breakdown of, because you obviously might be asking, well, what happened to Coors Field? Well, we can look. He's got it right here. So he's got percentage changes without the humidor and with it. So the WOBA, -5% change. That might not mean a lot to a lot of people. How about batting average? It changed by 7% when the humidor was added. Home runs went down 22% from 1.46. With and without the humidor. It was up without it. It was at 1.46. With it, it was down to 1.13. BAPIPs went lower at 7%, and strikeout rates actually went up by just 1%. But the big key there to take out of there is Homer's drastically changed. Now, real quick, picking up, because this is where it gets interesting. He puts this information here that Dr. Alan Nathan, the sabermetric world's leading baseball physicist, estimated home runs would fall by 25% in cores, and it was 22%, so that was pretty close. What they're saying here, let me find it, Dr. Nathan estimates that Chase Field drop will be even larger, 37%, but perhaps as little as 25% or much as 50%. It's like all in there. Because Chase Field's humidity is lower to begin with. So why Chase Field drop-off will be more extreme? This is probably, I think, one of the most important parts of this article, or this tweet. It should be an article. He says, average humidity from 2013 to 17, Coors Field 36%, Chase Field 16%. So that's 20% less. Coors stores balls at 50% humidity, which is a 14 difference from their current temperature. Chase is doing the same, but that will be a 34% change from the outside temperature. So by adding 20% more humidity, Chase balls will absorb more water and exit velocity will be reduced more. Lastly, here, it talks about Chase Field's elevation, which, you know what, actually, we'll talk about when we come back here in just a minute, because we're going to go to break here, and we'll pick up a little bit more on this entire conversation, because I think it's fascinating, Bogman. I know it's a whole other ball game to get into, the humidor, but it's going to have effects.
I was told there'd be no math.
I know, the math, it's bonkers to me. It's too much for us, but we'll talk about this, talk a little bit more about this this tweet brigade that Derek Carty has, and then Bogman and I will get into a little bit more. Plus, we're going to talk to you about some player debates. So don't go anywhere. This is In This League. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. We'll be right back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's In This League.
Everybody is half win and half lose.
Okay.
The lose half is
Scott Bogman.
Right.
The winning half is
Chris Welsh.
Right.
In This League.
It's inside. It's where the fear lives.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Could you start over again?
Let's play ball.
In This League.
Let's see it.
That's a little bit like this conversation. Like, can you start over again? Can you please start over again talking about the humidor and math and all that? That's unfortunately, that's kind of the place that we're in with this type of stuff. It's heady stuff that a lot of us don't even want to wrap our brains around. But at the end of the day, you know, science and, you know, sabermetrics and everything has become so much more of a, you know, of a platform that is baseball. It's not a part of baseball. It is baseball. So, you know, the Diamondbacks wouldn't be exploring it if they didn't see some type of a benefit. And it's going to have theoretical benefits to the pitchers. But so as we said on the other side of the break, and I'm going to just wrap through a few of these and then we'll keep going, Boggs. But just recapping, that Coors Field sits at a 36% humidity. Chase Field in Arizona, 16%. They are going to store them at the same humidity percentage, which means there's 20% more humidity being added in Arizona than in Coors, which that we're talking about the density and the heaviness of the ball, which has people freaking out. Derek says Coors Field's elevation is almost 5,200 feet. Chase Field's elevation is just under 1,100 feet. Chase is the second highest park in MLB, and it is still five times closer to sea level than Coors. Thus, it is nowhere near the hitter's park Coors was to begin with. It will not remain a hitter's park like Coors did. That's according to Derek Carty.
And I think the reason that Derek Hall said, it didn't really affect it in Colorado that much, is because Colorado still is the number one scoring ballpark in the bigs. I think that's what he sees. He's not going by pure numbers. You know, he's not going by percentages of drop-offs and runs scored. Just even after they put in the humidor, you know, Coors is still a very, very high scoring ballpark. And I have another question, and I know you don't have an answer. I'm just posing this kind of out loud. How are the balls handled on game day, right? So is it they stay in the humidor until they're brought out to the field the whole time, or did they take all the balls out at the beginning of the game? And then, especially when it's super hot out,
boy,
you know, when it's 120 degrees and that kind of thing, and the air is just completely dry, even in the ballpark, will the balls have less humidity in them at the end of the game? So will we see more runs being scored at the end of the game because the balls have had time to dry out?
Boggs, I got to tell you, that is such a great question that I don't think anyone is bringing up in the argument. I can't believe we hadn't talked about that. Non-Arizona people won't know this. And the common joke that makes me want to jump off of a bridge or put my head under a moving tire is, it's a dry heat. Shut up. It's not a dry heat when it's 120 degrees. You feel like you're in hell. Don't tell me it's a dry heat. But to your point,
the problem is the heat here is relentless. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, the humidity is worse. And sure, the humidity is worse. But you have, you know, when the sun goes down, it's nice out. When the sun goes down here, no, all the asphalt and concrete and everything has absorbed 120 degrees all day. So it's still 105 out.
Well, you have
2 o'clock in the morning.
You have a great point that hurts itself a little bit as well, because that's a fantastic point. You know, the dry air in Arizona at that time definitely has the ability to, and this could be part of the science, and I would be curious to know this, it has the ability to soak up more of that moisture because there is much less humidity in the air that's going to hold it in. But there's one factor to consider. In Coors, it's an outdoor stadium. You're in that humidity. In Arizona, during those really hot days, they're going to close the roof, and it's an air-conditioned 70-degree stadium.
The dryness, the humidity point is still relatively
I mean, it is relatively, but it is different. It's not like it's an open-air stadium, you know, that's going to have a massive effect.
That's true.
But maybe, you know, that's what we're talking about here. Maybe, you know, where this Dr. Nathan projects a 37% spike because it's somewhere between 25 and 50, maybe it's closer to 25 or even 20, even 22. Even if you take the same matter of what happened to Colorado, there's going to be a dip. And that's what's a part of this conversation. That's the important thing to have. You can't deny that there's not going to be an overall dip because it's got to happen. I mean, the science has shown it, unless, you know, the Diamondbacks are going to break science. I just don't think so.
Or if the humidor can be adjusted. I just think there's so much
about
this.
I don't think it is. I wouldn't focus on that because I typed it in. I've seen nothing about like game days where they start changing the temperature.
Right. Well,
I think there's a standard.
Just somebody needs to ask the question. That's why I keep saying it, is because I don't know. You know, I think that you would think that there would be a standard, right? Whether it's I just want to know what the rule on that is. You know, can they adjust? Do they have to keep it the same? You know, does it have to be the same the whole year? It's just a question that needs to be answered. I'm not trying to focus on it. I just don't know, so it intrigues me. And the same way with how are the balls handled from first pitch? I need to know that too. And is there something where, you know, if you leave a ball in a humidor for a week, does it really matter the difference in the humidity point between outside and in the humidor? You know what I mean?
Well, hey, listen, I got another one for you, a listener of ours, because, again, we had a basic conversation of this on the podcast. Chris Corbin tweeted us, Chris Corbin 101. He says, how much does a heavier ball affect pitching velocity, especially in a starting pitcher's later innings? And is there a correlation with a heavy ball and the 4-5s of the Rockies starting pitchers hitting the DL last year? And I saw that and I was like, wow, that's a...
Yeah, but they've had the humidor for a long time at Coors, haven't they?
Yeah, no, they've had it for years, but I think that's a really interesting point, though. Is there going to be effect in a velocity drop? You know, I mean, is it more injuries? You know, more pressure, guys that are throwing off speed pitches.
So
you
have
a
more
ball?
Hittable ball that just can't travel as far.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're going to get less movement. Is it going to be more strain to try to get, you know, some of that off speed to go? It's all relative questions. I mean, listen. Everyone that's sitting out here, I understand this one statement that you're hearing in your head right now.
Nerd!
I get it. Like, it's a total nerd thing. But what it all boils down to, and maybe, you know, we've got 1,000 questions here. I'm going to be out at Media Day on Sunday with the Diamondbacks. And if I can catch a couple people, Mike Farron or a couple people, I'm going to ask some of these questions. So maybe check back on the podcast for our Tuesday edition of the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast, where I might have some information for you if I get any of it. But at the end of the day, it's more about where is the true effect. You and I both agree, little to no effect are we going to put on Paul Goldschmidt. He's still going to steal. He's going to hit 300. He's a doubles hitter. Sure, maybe a couple less homers. You go from, what did he have, 31?
Yeah, I think 31
31 to 27, 28, something like that. Where it comes down to more of an effect, I think a guy like Jake Lamb I'm more worried about than anybody. Not even necessarily A.J. Pollock, you know. It's kind of a shorter fence on the corners, and, you know, pull hitters might be able to benefit a little bit. A.J. Pollock is going to steal bases, so I wouldn't really go nuts on him. But
68 games.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that he doesn't play a lot of games. But Jake Lamb is one where I look at him, and he, I mean,
36 for Goldie last year, by the way.
Oh, was it 36? Okay, so maybe he's down to 31. Lamb had, what, I think, 30 homers and like 100-something RBIs, but that guy struggles versus lefties, and he is so reliant on those homers. You put him down to the 25-24 marker when he's only hitting a certain type of pitcher, and pitchers maybe make a few more adjustments or having more success at Chase Field. I don't know, man. I think Jake Lamb's value could take a pretty big, massive hit when people are trying to target him in like the, you know, people out there targeting him like in the around 100 or something like that, where you can get Kyle Seager in like 140, 150. Amazingly, we had this exact same debate the previous year, and we were all about Jake Lamb. I'm all over Kyle Seager now. He's in a worse hitter's park, but he's a better hitter.
It's funny because they keep moving down, too, because home runs are so much cheaper than they used to be. So it used to be people were taking Kyle Seager in the 7th, 8th, and then you could get Lamb in the 10th, 12th. And now it's, you know, Lamb in the 10th and then Seager way later. So it's crazy how it's been moving on. But, yeah, I mean, the guys that you move down are a lot of the guys that I, you know, don't particularly want to draft anyway. So the big guys outside of Goldie for the Diamondbacks are Lamb and Pollock. You've already covered them. Are you taking the rest of these guys? Are you taking David Peralta? Are you taking Yasmani Tomas?
I mean,
Yasmani Tomas, who might be platooning at this point, or
it's all possible. I mean, JD Martinez, if he signs, that kills.
You know what? I think that's another point to bring up. I think this killed that.
You really think?
Think it did.
But you know how many players just don't care about analytics?
Sure.
Like,
I mean,
this?
if he's going to sign a long term extension, like a 5-year deal, he doesn't care because he got his money.
Yeah.
But if he was going to sign, you know, one that you proposed during the podcast, a 3-year deal for more money, and maybe get a bigger contract afterwards, I think that's out the door, because I don't know if he can get that bigger one if he's not hitting those long moonshots. And if it was a 1-year deal to bet on himself for next season, it's definitely out at this point.
Well, but what do you think, Eduardo Nunez? I mean, he signed. Do you think that's going to have any effect on the money that the Red Sox are willing to, you know, to drop? I mean, maybe not. It was a 1-year contract.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Possibly, but I doubt it. I don't know. You know, I thought it was a weird time for them to announce this, especially if you're in the middle of. Because, I mean, if you're J.D. Martinez, this has to be weighing in your mind, doesn't it?
A little bit. I want to say it does, but I think you're overestimating the amount that players don't care about stuff like this. The amount of players that get... I mean, I think it's new. There's a new generation. Our boy Eno over at The Athletic, you know, he's known as Stat Boy. You know, he's like Preston's Stat Boy. And the players that like hone in on him are the ones that really pay attention to that stuff. The Joey Vados, you know, some of the pitchers and whatnot. Yeah, Granky. There's a lot of guys that don't pay attention to that. Now, I think that's lessening year by year. There's just a lot of old school guys that aren't, they're not going to, you know, see, they're going to look at Colorado. Like, look at Derek Hall. Derek Hall is a really smart person. You know, he's the CEO of the Diamondbacks. And he's out there being like, yeah, they didn't really have an effect that much, did they? Like, okay, well, how did Derek Carty come out here and bust out all these stats that these guys didn't know? Do they not have the personnel in their organization? I think when it's all said and done, there is an effect. Is it as dramatic to be, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, call out Scott White or anything like that, but to be like, I'm not drafting any Diamondbacks. I think that's a bit dramatic because you're not going to draft Greinke? Or were you saying I'm not going to draft any hitters? Why are you going to draft any hitters? You know, they're almost all values at this point. Even Pollock, as much as you hate AJ Pollock, Bogman, is still kind of a deal. You know, with the if he plays. I mean, obviously, if he doesn't play, then if you're...
Well, I mean, Pollock is an amazing player, and I think he's a very, very good player. But, you know, he's going off right now. I'm looking at Fantrax at 55. That's just too high for me. I'm not going to take a risk on him when other guys like, you know, Rendon and Marte and Buxton and, you know, Yelich are kind of in this
Yeah, all those guys you just said, I'm taking over Pollock. But where did you say Pollock was going?
55 right now.
I don't know. I think the humidor is going to scare people off that he's going to be going around the 60s. And if you're getting him in the 6th or 7th round, I think he's a deal, man. I think.
Are we having an impromptu player debate here? Pollock with the humidor or Will Myers?
Ooh. That's a good one. What is Myers? Myers ADP 64. Is in about the 60s too. Yeah.
64.
I mean, the problem is, and I like Will Myers. My problem,
you know, not personally.
No. I think he's a D-bag. His face annoys me. And we yell at him at spring training games. We always yell at Will Myers because he just hates every person around him.
Myers! Couldn't sign that little kid's autograph?
Nope.
Come on, man.
Doesn't even like to look at people. But he's a really good player. AJ Pollock, the problem I'm looking at is the average. Like, AJ Pollock is more of a 280 to 300 type of hitter. And if he plays a full season, he's an 18 and 35 stolen base guy, or maybe even a little bit more. Will Myers was a 30-20 guy last year at a decent... I mean, he's only one of only three first basemen to steal 20 bases. I mean, that's a pretty significant feat there. I would say... I think I might go Pollock. It's really close, though. Where are you? Because these are two players you just don't like.
Myers. I mean, Myers... You know, he'll play a ton of games. What about K-Riss Davis?
Pollock.
I'd take Davis all day with all those bombs.
But see, you're not the person to ask this because
that's true.
You hate
that's
Pollock.
Why I'm asking you.
Okay, Eduardo Nunez or Pollock?
And Pollock. Come on. Tommy Pham.
I want Pollock.
Yeah, I think okay. I'm still going Pham.
You tell me the player. Stop asking me then. You tell me the player that
I'll
you
take
would
Pollock take. Over Domingo Santana.
Yeah, me too.
Playing time.
Any
well,
better.
These are the next outfielders. I'm just reading off the outfielders. Would you rather have Pollock or McCutcheon? You'd rather have Pollock, right?
I think so. I think it's close-ish.
It's closer. Yeah, but I mean, Pollock is going 55. McCutcheon's going to 80. That's why I won't take Pollock. Now, if he falls off like you're talking about, and he falls down here into the McCutcheon, Yoenis Cespedes, you know, this
Cespedes
type of...
Cespedes or Pollock?
I'd take Pollock.
Oh, really? Oh, because you're a big Cespedes guy.
Yeah, but Cespedes, I mean, he had the same problem that Pollock did last season. He missed a bunch of games. He missed more games than Pollock, and he's older.
I like that you recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you kind of have to, you know, yeah, I have to give up on Pollock. That Pollock's a good player. He's just a player that is going off too high at this point. Maybe the humidor will bring me back on board into the Pollock camp.
Maybe.
I doubt it, but there is a slight possibility. I mean, it just depends on how far he drops.
Okay,
but.
Well, let's do this, because this is a great segue into what we want to do in the next segment. Let's do some player debates. I'm actually curious. Maybe we even need to put a where do you view Diamondbacks at this point type of a debate out there. But Bogman and I have put together in style of our brand new book, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, which you can get on Amazon or our website. We put together a couple player debates that are not in the book, but I think are great questions. We've put a tweet out, is it the Welsh Bogman Sports, to try to get your answers, and we are going to talk about them and debate them. First one up, you want a little one to sit in your brain on the break? Brian Dozier versus Alex Bregman. Who would you want in a standard 5x5? That's one of them. We got a couple more. We are going to debate those over the next couple segments, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, go buy that book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Welcome back. It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Last segment of the first hour. And when I say first hour, oh boy, I mean it, because there are three of them. We down
That's
to
right.
three, baby. We got three segments all up in this. They did. I mean, I don't know if they made a mistake, but we'll see. We'll see how that
the
goes.
Jury is out. That is for sure.
Yeah. Hey, you can tweet at FNTSY Radio if you want to tell them how much you love the show. You're listening right now. Say, FNTSY Radio, I love this show. More hours. Just the whole day. We'll just be the whole day. Or maybe during
the
week.
Can I get a 24-hour block?
Yeah.
Of In This League. That'd That's all
horrible.
I want.
That'd be horrible. I mean, we've almost created
naps in the middle.
I would argue that, like, the amount of content that we put out, it's almost there. If people don't realize this, In This League baseball, football, basketball. Bogman does the Draft Room, the NFL Draft War Room podcast, which is, obviously NFL draft base. I do Prospect One. We just did a first-year player mock for Dynasties with James Anderson. Doing a 10-round prospect mock next week. The amount of content we put out, plus the three-hour radio show. We got a best-of show you can listen to. It's called In This League Overtime on Tuesday and Thursday nights on FNTSY. Plus, if you join up with the ITL Army, we got secret shows. You can join us in our GroupMe chats, which are wild. Our GroupMe chats are, I mean, they're awesome fantasy stuff, and then just they also just get, like, wild and crazy.
Fuck wild.
Yeah, I like it.
They're so wild and crazy guys.
Yeah. Steve Martin. I miss Steve Martin. What's the last Steve Martin movie that was out there? Isn't it like the stupid
Parent
Traps?
I think it was The Jerk. Wasn't that the last one he did?
In the 70s? Jerk? Yeah, in the 70s? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. No. I think it was like The Parent Trap or something.
I have no idea. What's
you know what it was?
Ride one of those? I don't know.
You know what it was? I know exactly what it was. And this is how pathetic my life is.
Bavona would know the answer to this question.
No, but I don't need Bavona, because you know why?
The internet.
It's no, and I also not that, but I'm going to be the internet right now. It's a cartoon movie called Home.
Home.
Yeah, he did the voice of the. So who's that? Oh man. Okay. The theory. What's the theory show that everyone loves? All the freaking
nerds.
What's the show?
The Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. Who's the main guy?
Oh man, I don't watch it.
Socially awkward one.
It starts with an S. Stevie or
someone is so mad right now. They're like, you nerds, get it. Who? Let's see. Big Bang Theory. It's like
Sheldon. Sheldon. Young Sheldon is the name of that other dumb one that they did.
So whatever that guy's name is. Jim Parsons. Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons. Right.
Jim Parsons.
He's a big Rockets fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's from Houston. Big Rockets fan.
Jim Parsons is the lead voice of this alien. Rihanna is the little girl. And Steve Martin is like the boss weird alien. I have children.
When was
this?
So
I know all of this. It's like 2 years ago or something like that. That's the last thing that Steve Martin did. Just this is a 20 degrees of nothing important. And we got there. Just to tell you guys where Steve Martin was. All right. As we went to break, we were talking about player debates. This is in, we love to do player debates, and it's in fashion of our new book, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, which you can get on Amazon or our website. Go get it. It's only $6.99. Did you hear that? $6.99.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Get it.
Nice.
It's very, very cheap, and you're directly supporting us. We might possibly do something else again if, like, a horde of you go do it. But we're doing player debates right now, and we have tweeted out The first one is my Twitter handle, @IsItTheWelsh. I put this debate out there, and let's start here because Bogman has got two other really, really good ones, and I want to see where this goes. And I want to see, first off, where you are, Bogman, on this one. So the question, and I set it up before we went to break, was in a standard 5x5 in 2018, who would you rather have, Alex Bregman or Brian Dozier? We got a lot of votes, and the votes are incredibly interesting. But talk to me about where you are with this debate.
You know, what's funny is when I put these together, what I do is I go and I look and see who are some guys that are kind of close in ADP, right? And Dozier's 33 and Bregman is 35. So they're very, very close. And
that was a great one.
This one was so close to me. I'm like, who do I have between these two on my top 300 list?
Bob,
I had to go look.
And that's why I love that we do this, because I preach this so many times. Everybody does lists. You go about this and you just plow out what you've done. But then when you're put the test, like, you think about guys you want. Like, someone might be like, I love Dozier, or someone might be like, I love Alex Bregman. But when you're put to the test to compare the players and you're put in that situation, then you're like, where am I on this? And I was the exact same way as you. I was like, where am I on this?
So I've got Bregman, but it's not by a lot. I have Bregman at 30, and I have Dozier at 33. So on my top 300. So they're very, very close, of course. I think a couple things go Bregman's way. Number one is that he qualifies at second and third. So you have two positions.
Bregman? You mean shortstop and third?
I think it's second and third.
Definitely shortstop, 100%.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, Altuve is the second baseman, so he didn't.
I think maybe it was last season he qualified at second and third. Well, Altuve missed some games last year.
Yeah, so no, it's 100. If you go look at the games played, Bregman came up as a shortstop and moved to third, and then when Correa got hurt, he played shortstop last year, so it's a shortstop third base.
Right, okay. So, well, last season, I guess he didn't. He actually doesn't qualify at both because he played. Let's see. It said he played. Am I on Alex Bregman stuff here?
I don't know, Bogman. He should. I mean, he's a third baseman, but he played.
No, I'm looking at the splits, and I went to Dozier splits. I'm like, how did he play 150 games at second? And now Jose Altuve's. So let me look at the splits real quick. But another fact before I get to that is it's third and short. You're right. He only played two games at second last year. So third and short, he qualifies. 27 games at short last season because Correa missed a bunch of time.
Yeah.
And 129 at third. So, but I like Bregman because I think he's also a guy that I don't know that we've seen his full potential yet. I think he could add a little bit of power. He could add a couple more stolen bases. And he, you know, 19 and 17 last season. And the thing that gets me about Dozier, it just scares me, is the last two seasons, the first half has been pedestrian. I mean, it's been good for a second baseman, but the batting average has been bad. He still has power and speed from second base. But the second half is such a wild swing. Last year, he hit .242 in the first half, 17 homers, 13 homers, 39 runs, 41 RBI with 10 stolen bases. Second half, he bumped it up to .304. He had 62 points higher, 13 homers, 21 homers, 67 runs, and 52 RBI with 6 stolen bases. And the season before that, it was even crazier. He had 28 homers in the second half,
Jesus.
And he had 14 in the first half. So I'm just a little bit wary of those violent swings. Like, I know you're getting the production, but it's all coming in the back half of the season. So, you know, let's say I have Brian Dozier for the first half of the year and he breaks his arm. You know, then you had a mediocre second baseman for half the season. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes at that and say there's no arbitrary line and he didn't do that before. But this is a trend. It has happened two seasons in a row. Whatever happens for him happens after the break and he gets better. So I'll go with a rising star in Alex Bregman, just a smidge over Brian Dozier.
This one might make me rethink stuff. I was actually looking at splits, and interesting that Bregman's got a pretty big split, too. I don't know if you looked at first half last year. He had a .256 average, .315 in the second half. I mean, that's kind of the same as Brian Dozier.
It is.
It's not that much far off. So when I look at this, and if you talk about counting stats, I mean, Dozier's winning every single category here. I mean, stolen bases, maybe not. Average is obviously not. And I should have rephrased that. He's not winning average. Bregman's going to win average. But when you look at the four counting outside of that, Dozier is hands down winning three of them. He's going to win homers, runs, and RBIs. Stolen bases are going to be a tight, tight race. The average is the big question. Last year, to me, was a little bit more of the anomaly. He hit 271. I mean, Dozier to me has always been a 240 hitter, 245, 250 at best. That was pretty big, but he didn't have a crazy swing in BAPIP if you look at the number in its totality, but the BAPIP number against himself is pretty high. He's a career 276 guy, and he hit 300 on the BAPIP. So, you know, he got a little bit lucky. You also, if you think about the team dynamic, they've got a lot more playmakers on the team, which might, you know, help induce lucky scenarios, might induce RBI situations. I love at second base. I mean, there's not many second basemen that have the ability to go homer, run RBI, and stolen bases outside of Bregman's teammate Altuve, and then it's Dozier. So this actually might make me rethink things because, like you, I do have Bregman above. I have Bregman. Where did you say? We actually both have Bregman at 30, by the way. And,
oh, really?
And we both have him at 33, Dozier. That's weird. I'm just looking at our ranks. We have him the exact same. I might give serious consideration to moving Dozier up. I really might. Because yeah. I think when I think about this debate, when I think about it, like, who would I want? I kind of think I would want Dozier on my team over this. Unless I obviously got Altuve or maybe like Jose Ramirez.
And even if you get one of those guys, you know, there's always MI. In most leagues, anyway, there's a middle infield. You still have to have a middle infielder. So
the only
it's
thing,
never bad to build from the middle up. So
yeah, and the only thing that hurts me here with Dozier, and this is why, you know, at the end of the day when I do my ranks, this is why I had Bregman over him, is that, like, it's the average thing. I've been building a lot in my mock drafts. I build teams with good average. The first round pick, you're almost guaranteed to have a decent average guy. Or a good average guy. If not, you're getting like monster elite something with a decent average. And then I'll take another guy that's got a good average. So Dozier has the potential to bring that down. But man, the more that I look at this, I mean, Adam Bregman, you know, he beefed up in the offseason. He's a really hard worker. I love the competitiveness that he has against Correa and Altuve. And he's going to hit at a decent point in a fantastic lineup. But I think I might make this change. Now,
that's another big thing in Bregman's favor is he's sandwiched between Springer and Altuve.
It's huge.
That's a nice place to be, especially when you qualify at second and short. And when you look at Dozier, he's going to hit leadoff ahead of Joe Mauer and Miguel Sano, who, you know, who knows what's going to go on with Sano.
Yeah, maybe he'll be playing.
So the lineup in Houston is much better when you have Bregman being cleaned up by Altuve, Correa, you know, Reddick.
Where's Buxton?
Buxton, they have six.
Is he hitting at six? Yeah. Really?
Dozier, Mauer, Sano, Rosario, Polanco, Buxton.
Who
Kepler.
Is this? Baseball Resource?
It's Roster Resource.
The Roster Resource? I feel like that might change.
Things change all the time, but you just never know. I mean, you know, Buxton started out the year at three and then hit at eight at the end of the year.
Yeah, so, I was curious, where was he hitting last year? Was it at three?
I think, well, he started at three, and then they moved him down to eight, and then he came back up, and I think this is the lineup that they had last season.
I'm going to go look here. I want to know where Buxton was
hitting.
I think
this is what they went into the playoffs with, was with Buxton hitting at six.
I mean, they could put Buxton at leadoff and have Dozier at two. So Buxton last year, yeah, I mean,
but if Dozier isn't leading off in the AL, are those stolen bases coming back?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I mean, if you look at this, the dude has played, he played two games where he hit above three. One at first, one at second batting. He had 14 games batting third, 22 batting fifth, 9 batting sixth, 19 batting seventh, 22 batting eighth, and 47 batting ninth. That dude is all over the lineup. That's Buxton.
Yeah, and that's not that surprising. You know, he's a young guy who hit all over the place, and he is... You know, you consider him the third or fourth best bat in that lineup, but you just never know. So what they're going to do with this lineup, and is Eddie Rosario going to repeat? You know, I think the guys in the Houston lineup are pretty solid. We've seen You know, Correa's won an MVP. Springer's been good for two seasons in a row. Red X a little injury prone. Gurriel hit around 300. Marwin busted out of nowhere, but they still have a chance to add a bat. They might add Real Muto. So I like the lineup better. I like the dual position eligibility for Bregman a little bit better. Pure numbers, you kind of have to go with Dozier, but I'm just not sold. And it's funny, when you click on Dozier's Fangraphs profile, the first article here says, Brian Dozier is doing his impossible by Jeff Sullivan.
Yeah, is doing his impossible. So we lay that groundwork here, similar to like what we do in the book. Let's go to see what the people have to vote for. So we asked the question on Twitter, Brian Dozier, Alex Bregman. 60% say Alex Bregman, 40% Brian Dozier. I am actually very surprised at that. I feel like if you don't see ADPs, I feel like if you see Brian Dozier, you immediately think 35 homers, 15 stolen bases. I thought this one would be within 5% of each other.
Yeah, but I think that the reason that the Bregman is getting the votes is not because of laid out logic like we just did. It's because of the unknown. It's the same reason that the people are afraid of the humidor. We don't know how the effect is going to be. And Bregman is on his way up. And, you know, Dozier, you can say he's either in the prime of his career or maybe he's coming back down, you know, and when is that going to come for him? So
I kind of have that. I kind of have some of that, like, I'm afraid to draft him because when I draft him, it'll be the one where he bombs out.
Right. And he's such a high pick still. Yeah. I mean, you have to take him in the middle of the third round or somewhere in the third round in most drafts.
That's a good point. So, well, listen, the debates aren't stopping there because we have got more for you. So don't go anywhere because we don't just have one more hour. We got two more hours coming up in the next hour. We are going to the first one. We're going to go to another debate that we put out there. Jose Berríos versus Luis Castillo. I think that is a fantastic one because those are very, very popular SP3s on a lot of people's teams and right around the 100 mark. So very, very buzzy type guys. Luis Castillo versus Jose Berríos, plus Starling Marte versus Christian Yelich. Those are all coming up and a ton more. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour 2, hour 3, all going down. We'll be back in just a little bit.